Well, there's no time like family time. It's good to be with you all. Let's start with a brief word of prayer. Father, we thank you. As Dorman has already prayed, we thank you for the message of exchange. We thank you for the reality of exchange. I pray that in these moments, you will make that even more real to us than ever before. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, the title for the message this morning is Exchanging Theory for Life. Exchanging Theory for Life. Now, I trust that most of you in this room believe that exchange is a biblical concept. Most of you have been here a month or more, probably have come to believe that exchange is found in the Bible. I certainly am convinced of it. But I'm also beginning to realize that there is a theory of exchange, and then there is the reality of exchange. Your brain and your mind might agree with the exchange concept, might agree that Scripture indeed teaches exchange, that it's a wonderful free gift from God that is given to each person who has believed into Jesus Christ. You know about exchange and some of the verses that talk about it, and yet for there may be someone here for whom the reality of exchange has always seemed just a little bit out of reach. You agree with it in your mind, no questions about it, but somehow the putting into practice of exchange may be just a little elusive. So if there's someone here this morning that feels that way, well, this message is for you. Let me start with a bumper sticker that I found somewhere. Perhaps you've seen it. Change doesn't work. Exchange does. Only five words, but a lot of wisdom in those five words. What does it mean when it says change doesn't work? What does work mean in this concept? Well, usually when we say something doesn't work, aren't we really saying we don't get the results out of it that we were hoping for or expecting? So in that sense, it doesn't work. What this bumper sticker is trying to tell us is that change is not the producer of results. The bumper sticker is not telling us that change is a bad thing. In fact, change can be a good thing. Change can be a necessary thing, but it's not the producer of results. So in that sense, it does not work. Exchange, on the other hand, does produce results. It does work. Exchange will produce positive change. In fact, it's guaranteed that exchange will produce positive change. Now, someone might say, if that's true, then why isn't exchange working for me? I've been asking the Lord about this, and I've noticed over the last 3 or 4 years that when I ask the Lord about something having to do with His kingdom, it's amazing how He will bring a book, a person, a teaching, a recording, a phrase in a conversation, or perhaps a thought, but He will bring something that will shed some light on that subject that I've been asking Him about. And I believe He has given me, just in the last 2 or 3 weeks, a little nugget of truth having to do with this subject of the reality of exchange. It's only one little piece of the puzzle, but I believe it's an important piece. Every piece of the puzzle is an important piece, and I want to share it with you this morning. My prayer is that this time this morning might help all of us take one more step toward growing up into the new creation person that we already are. And toward that end, I've asked Marilyn to assist me. We're going to take you on a little, show you a little encounter that occurred at our local Stuff Mart store. You all know about Stuff Mart. Just a slave to fashion. Good morning.
Well, good morning, sir. Welcome to Stuff Mart. are?
Thank you.
How are you today?
I'm doing fine, thank
you. How may I help you?
Well, I've heard about this lifetime exchange guarantee that Stuff Mart has, and I wonder, do you still have that?
We do. Isn't that an amazing
It is. Price? It really is. Yeah.
The lifetime exchange guarantee.
Yeah. You buy an item at Stuff Mart, you can bring it back anytime and get a brand new one in exchange.
Wow, that is great. Well, I'd kind of been thinking about exchanging this cape that I'm wearing. I bought it here many, many years ago.
Ah, I would recognize a Stuff Mart bath towel any place.
Yeah. Well, this cape, like I say, I bought it here many years ago. I wear it nearly everywhere I go, and as you can see, it's getting a little frayed around the edges.
Yes, I can tell. Yeah. I guess when you wear something like that every waking hour, it does get a little frayed.
Yeah.
A receipt is required to make that exchange. Yeah. Do you have it?
Got the Stuff Mart receipt right
okay.
here.
Okay, yeah. Great. Wonderful. Mm. Well, as I explained, you exchange what you
That's what I came
have,
for.
The item.
Yeah, so and, you have...
So these are the new ones.
Oh, good. Good. Oh, I like like that.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I'll take it.
Well, let me explain a little more about our policy.
Okay.
What is required of you is that you put off the one that you're wearing and you release it to me, and then I give you the brand new one.
Oh, that's how that works. Mm-hmm. I thought there might be a catch. So, I mean, you can't use this one, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So can't I just take that one and add it to this one?
It's a lifetime exchange guarantee.
Oh.
So you put off that
and
release it to me, and then
That's going to be a problem. You see, this one is really comfortable. I'm very accustomed to it. I'm not sure I'd know what to do without it. Well, I tell you, if that's the policy, I'm going to have to go home and think about it for a while then. But
thank you
for your help.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, that silly little skit makes a point that may be so obvious it's easy to miss. What I'd like to do next, I'll come back to the skit in a moment, is read from Colossians chapter 3. Now, what you're going to see in this passage as I read it, we know that exchange is a done deal, as they say. It is past tense. We have put off the old man, and that's not slang for our earthly dads when we say old man. It's a reference to our former self before we became a believer. We have put off, and yet you will see in this passage, even though it says you have put off, it's still there's some active verbs like put on, put off, set your mind, do not do this, put on love, those kinds of things. So just kind of pay attention to that as we go along here. Starting in Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So it is true that exchange is already done. It is finished. It's complete for every person who has believed into Christ. But as we saw in that passage, Paul tells us that we still have a choice regarding the kind of life we're going to live from day to day. If you'll notice in verse 9, Paul says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off," past tense, "the old man with his deeds." You have put off. It's done. But yet, in the previous verse, verse 8, he says, "Now you yourselves are to put off things such as anger, wrath, and malice," those sorts of things. I believe what Paul is doing here is he's making a distinction between putting off the old self and putting off the deeds of the old self. The putting off of the old self is done. That old self has been crucified with Christ, Romans 6. He's dead. He's not going to come back to life. He's done. But even though that's true, we still have the opportunity and perhaps even the strong temptation at times to do the same old deeds that our old self used to do. Well, if that old self no longer lives, then where's that temptation coming from? I'll be speaking to you again in October, and I plan to go deeper into how these things work and to bring in some scripture and also some cutting-edge neuroscience from a Christian neuroscientist, Carolyn Leaf. I want to talk to you about that. It's absolutely fascinating, but it helps explain a lot of things that are going on in our lives every day. When we read, "All things have become new, and yet I still see some of the old coming up," we'll talk about that in October. Rest assured, I'm not trying to talk about this morning healing the old soul. There are a lot of people out there that talk about healing the old soul. How do you heal something that's dead? So that's not what I'm talking about. I just want to make that really clear. What I am talking about is healing the bad programming, the old thought processes that old soul left behind right here between our ears. That's what I'll be talking about. So for now, let's just recognize from this passage that we must do the putting off and the putting on. Putting off the old deeds, putting on the new man. So what are, again, these old deeds that we have to put off? Paul gave a short list in Colossians 3:8, but he could have gone on for pages, probably hundreds of pages, as to the deeds of the old flesh. The first one in his list there is anger. It's interesting what's already been said this morning about spirit of offense. Don't raise your hand, but does anyone here have an issue with anger? I won't look up. And we could all raise our hands if we asked, do you know someone who has an issue with anger? We might not want to admit that we have an issue with anger, but what about hot buttons? Anybody got a hot button? You know, you're just having a great day, and all of a sudden, somebody does that thing. Maybe it's a word, maybe it's a glance, a particular way of looking at you, or just something irritating they do, and you just go off on them. You may hold it inside, but meanwhile, inside, you're just really grinding away and upset. So, where does a hot button come from? Once again, stay tuned. We'll talk about that in a few weeks. Let me tell you about a man named Dave Hayes. Dave is, he is right now, an emergency medical professional in Arizona who treats people when they're being transported by ambulance. Now, Dave was an atheist for most of his life, but a few years ago, he was saved, and boy, did he get saved. God's really been doing great things in his life. One day, Dave sensed the Lord telling him, I want you to pray for the people in your ambulance every day. Not just this one right now, but pray all the time for all your patients. I want you to pray for them. And he obeyed. He didn't see much happen at first, but within a few months, Dave Hayes was seeing the vast majority, I'm talking 80 to 90% of the patients being transported in the ambulance being healed in the few minutes they were in the ambulance. Dave has now written a book about those experiences of healing, and in his book he tells us how we can pray for the sick as well. It's really a very interesting book. Well, one day, Dave, and you might know him, his pen name that he's written books under is called Praying Medic. For a while, he kind of stayed anonymous as Praying Medic, but now his name's out there. Well, one day, Dave noticed that even though he had a wonderful and growing relationship with the Lord, he suddenly began having a serious anger problem. And it really concerned him because he knew that's not who he was in Christ. That's not the new creation, how a new creation person would be acting. So what would many Christians in that situation do? If they noticed they had just a real kind of deeply rooted anger problem, some might say, well, that's just who I am. Take me or leave me. Deal with it. I would hope that's not what we would do. But I think more often we would find Christians who would say, oh, I've got to change my behavior or else God will not be pleased with me. My relationship with God just won't be right until I can get this anger under control. Well, that kind of thinking is called behavior modification. A shorter way to say it, that effort is called change. But you and I know change doesn't work. It does not work. God doesn't expect us to get ourselves cleaned up. We can't. It's impossible. The quicker we learn that, the easier things will go for us from there on out. He wants us to rest in Him and let Him take care of those rough edges. If we're trying to do God's job, we will not be successful. We are not resting in Him. So here's what Dave Hayes did when he noticed his anger problem. He didn't just say, deal with it. He didn't try to change himself. Here's what he did. God, help me understand this. God's his best friend. God, help me understand this. Where's this anger coming from? And before long, he became aware, I don't know how, but he became aware that his anger came from a series of traumatic events that happened to him as a teenager. And that anger had just kind of been in there, quietly growing and building, and it just, for some reason, chose this time in his life to come out, even though the trauma had been many years earlier, probably more than 20. And I won't go into detail just now, but a friend of his, he asked this friend for help, and the friend led him through about a two-hour process they spent together praying about this, acknowledging the anger before the Lord, not trying to hide anything, and just saying, Lord, I don't want this anymore. Would you take it from me? And what happened in that 2 hours, he noticed for the first time since he was a teenager, he could relive that event without what one minister calls that high-octane ping, that grab of emotion and anger and bitterness. It was gone. It was gone just in 2 hours after he'd had it for all those years. So the Apostle Paul would say that Dave had put off that anger, and he had put on the very peace of God in exchange. The very next day, I just think God's timing is so amazing. The very next day, Dave's ambulance was sent to a hospital emergency room where they were to pick up a patient and transport her to a mental hospital. She had come into the emergency room. She had been suicidal, depressed for about 18 months and suicidal. Had just violent bouts of anger. She almost stabbed her husband with a knife. So while they were waiting for this patient to be prepped for transport, Dave got her file and he was reading through and he was learning these things that I just told you about her. He also saw a transcript of an interview that a social worker had conducted with this young woman, or this woman, and found out that when she was a teenager, she had been horribly molested. So that probably was the root of all of this stuff. Once they were in the ambulance, Dave shared with her how only the day before he had been healed of a very similar anger problem, that similar to the anger that she had had, that it was rooted in a trauma from the teenage years. Well, needless to say, he had her attention, especially when he said he had been healed from it. So he led her through that very same process that his friend had led him through about putting off the anger, putting on the love and peace and joy of Christ. And as soon as they finished praying together, she realized that that high-octane ping from that anger was gone. It just wasn't there anymore. Whereas moments before, she said she wished that the molester would just die and go away, that was gone in just a few minutes. She saw a glimmer of hope, and she asked Dave if this simple process would work for emotions other than anger, for example, sadness. Remember, she had depression. The way that Dave answered her question was the big aha moment for me, as I read about this in his book. He informed this woman that God would give her something good in exchange for anything bad that she was willing to release to him. If she was willing to release her sadness, Dave said, to God, then she would be able to receive his joy in exchange for her sadness. If you or if I were willing to release any feelings of rejection, for example, to God, then we can receive his acceptance. He's already given it. Maybe we haven't received it yet. So it's not that God is withholding peace, love, joy, acceptance, anything like that. He's not withholding it until we finally find the right formula and say the right words. He's not about formulas. He's about relationship. He never withholds anything good from his children. The question is not, is he willing to give? Because he's already given. It's already there. Just like the new cape was already there waiting. The question is whether we are willing to receive what he's given. And sometimes before we can receive a gift from God, we have to move something out of the way. We have to first put off something bad. We have to release to him that thing so that it creates the space for that we could receive the good thing from him. So in that ambulance, Dave told this woman that this was something she could do on her own. He said, you're going to be in this mental hospital for a couple of days before they release you. Why don't you consider spending some quiet time with God and just praying through this old stuff, just like I showed you. Just go through that little process. When I read through this encounter in Dave Hayes' book, it finally hit me. You're going to think, boy, he's really slow. Exchange is an exchange. It's an exchange. It's not take the old over and put something new on top of it and expect all to be well. It doesn't work that way. That was the whole point of our silly little skit a while ago. The guy had been wearing that old cape for so long, he had grown so comfortable in it, that you really have to make a conscious decision. I'm ready to let go of this. Until then, don't fake it. Just ask God to help you get ready to let go of it. It's all about relationship, not formula. But the man at the Stuff Mart store found out that the exchange process required him to put off that old and release it to the store employee before he could then receive and put on the new. Since I first heard about exchange 4 years ago, I knew that God took my junk and exchanged it for for himself. I didn't just get from him love, joy, peace. I got him. He is my love. He is my joy. He is my life. We live by the life of another. But inside my brain, this was the part I wasn't getting. Inside my brain, I still had some old wounds, some old habits, some old thinking patterns that stood in the way of my ability to receive all that is mine in exchange. I had not put off some of those things. I hadn't released them to God. So yes, we've been exchanged, but if we don't release the old junk that's still hanging around in our brains, then it sure won't seem like exchange works. Dave's interactions with that woman made me realize that she would not have been healed if she had not been ready to let go of that anger and bitterness. She could have chosen to hang on to that anger, and she would have felt very justified in doing so, because everyone would agree she had been horribly wronged as a child. And we, some people would say, you're justified in feeling that way. Just get it all out. No, that's not the way this works. But apparently she came to a realization by God's grace that she was only hurting herself by holding on to that anger, and she was willing to release it. What if she had gone to a Christian counselor? Maybe even a Christian counselor who kind of understood exchange. What might that counselor have told her? You know, the counselor could say, you know, you've been exchanged. All you have to do is just know that Jesus bore your junk and gave you his righteousness. So go, you know, go on your way and just believe that. You have to believe it. Would the counselor have been correct? Technically, yes. I think that would be a true statement, what the counselor said. But here's where we can see how subtle Satan can be. We can read Paul's command to put off the old and exchange it by putting on the new, and then try to go out in our flesh and modify our behavior. Oh, it says I've got to put this off. I better go get cleaned up, and then when I'm done, I'll come back and put on the new. That is the subtle lie of Satan. And when we think of it that way, that is not exchange. That is change that's all dressed up in exchange clothing. And if we try it, we'll fail, and then we'll think, exchange doesn't work. I tried it. I tried to exchange the old for the new, and it just did not work for me. When in fact, we will have just proven that it's change that doesn't work, but we'll be duped into thinking it's exchange that doesn't work. And Satan just sits back and laughs and says, ha, fooled another one. Someone might ask, well, if I have a bad thought, can't I just rebuke it? Well, isn't that what Paul meant when he said to take every thought captive, to rebuke it? Well, let me ask you this. If you're trying that, how's that approach working for you? What's the problem with it? Maybe it is working for you. The problem, though, is my soul, my brain, my mind can learn the formula for rebuking, and I can try it outside, step out of my relationship with Christ. Of course, we really can't do that, but I can just kind of forget about that and, okay, God, I've got this. I'm going to step over here and apply this formula to rebuke this bad thought and take it captive. It won't work. Once again, that is exchange. That is change. Instead, try this approach. Lord, I keep having that thought. Where's that coming from? I know it doesn't reflect the truth that I'm a new creation in you. Lord, would you take that thought captive in me and give me the opposite in exchange? I'm ready to release and receive. I think that kind of exchange would actually work. So you see the difference. In one case, I can act independently of God. It's a you know, it may be a good thing I'm attempting to do, but I'm acting independently of him. In the other case, I'm in close and intimate relationship with him. You see, Satan doesn't care if we're religious. In fact, the more religious, the better, because religion deals with change and self-effort. And even Satan knows the bumper sticker that change doesn't work. I hope I had that right side up, yeah. Satan would prefer that you not get saved, but even if you do, that's not too terribly threatening to him. Now, he probably starts to sweat a little bit when he sees that we're beginning to grasp the theory of exchange. But even that won't concern him too much if we don't go past that point. But what scares the hell into Satan is when we start to move from the theory of exchange into living it as a reality in our daily lives. Why is that? Why is exchange in reality such a threat to the devil? And it's because living the life of exchange requires us to be walking in union with Jesus Christ and letting him live his life through us. Satan knows he is doomed when that happens, that he's just lost the battle in that person. And that is why he will do everything in his power to keep you from getting it. He's willing to let you try any formula you want to try on your own. He's willing to let you go to all the classes on spiritual warfare that you want to go to and try those things out. But when we start dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, let me say that a different way. When we start resting in Jesus and letting him fight the battles in us and through us, Satan cannot stand. And that is why we must get it. Change does not work. And even change that's all dressed up in exchange words doesn't work. Part of what I'm just now beginning to learn is that my releasing of the deeds of the old man doesn't happen all at once. I wish it did. I wish it just, boom, like that, it was all done. But it happens in stages, and I'm convinced it's probably the case with you too. It's not necessarily that I'm holding on to parts of the old deeds, although that could be the case at times. It's just that, like with Dave Hayes' anger, he just wasn't aware of it for a while. He wasn't aware until it really came up and became a problem that affected his walk with the Lord. This is so subtle. Let me come at it from one more angle, a little different. You've heard me use the terms release and receive this morning. Paul uses the terms put off and put on. Now, my intention when I use the words release and receive is it's exactly the same thing that Paul is saying. But I'm afraid that in our culture, we might interpret those two sets of terms differently, and that might be where some of us get stuck. The command to put off the old might put us into a fleshly mode which says, I have to go fix this. He told me to put it off. I've got to go do something. I must work up the will. I have to work up the self-control to stop doing whatever it was I was doing or thinking or saying. And then, once that's done, I have to work up the will and the self-control to put on the good thing that I should have been doing all along. Then, just maybe, I'll be pleasing to God. So can you hear a subtle difference between put off the old and release the old? Maybe it's my hand motion. Release the old. When I read put off, my initial reaction is to jump into work mode. But when I think of it as release the old, it reveals that I already am working. I'm working hard, hanging on to that thing. And now I just need to relax, release it, and let God take it. Give it to him. God is not going to wrestle those old bits away from you. He's waiting for us to say, Jesus, I sure am weary from hanging on to this. I'm getting tired of it. I release it to you, and I accept what you've already made available to me in the exchange. Relationship, union, that's what exchange is all about. Now, I usually don't want to give steps to something, but if you'd like to put this into practice, let me just tell you a sequence of things you can do to put this into practice. First and foremost, if you are at rest in peace right now in your walk with Him, just thank Him for that. Rest in that. Love it. Go on your way. Go about doing your business, doing kingdom business, praising and worshiping God as you go. Don't go on a hunt for something that might not be there. I'm not trying to make us sin conscious, is basically what I'm saying here. So if you're at peace, be thankful for it. Secondly, though, if something inside you begins to interfere with your peace and your rest in Jesus, try to identify what it is. If you can, identify where it's coming from. Ask Jesus. Talk to Him about it. He's your best friend. He already knows all about it, and He is not mad at you. He knows that's not you. He knows and sees the new creation that you already are, but He also knows that this thing that's bothering you is an intruder trying to get between you and Him. So He's not mad. Third, so once you've identified it, number three, tell Jesus that you are putting off that negative emotion or behavior and that you're releasing it to Him. Whatever it is, maybe it's a spirit of offense, anger, anything. Now, I want to pause right here just a moment and say something about unforgiveness. I think unforgiveness is kind of a special case. I'm still working through this. You might have been carrying unforgiveness toward an individual or multiple individuals for a long time. Maybe just since yesterday, maybe for most of your life. The time period isn't the main thing. But every time you think about that, there's such pain. You're experiencing such pain when you think about it. It just tears you up. You can't conceive of forgiving that person. How could I forgive them after what they did to me? If I forgive them, I'm still going to have all this pain and anger and bitterness that comes up. Why would I give up the luxury, if you will, of forgiving them? If you're in a situation like that, then what you need to deal with first is the pain and the anger. Don't tackle the forgiveness part first. That can come later. But let God work that pain out of you. When you can then think about what happened, and it's just almost like you're watching a movie that you're detached from, then can't you see how easy it will be? Since God has forgiven you much, you'll be able to forgive them much, the one who hurt you. So just a suggestion. Number four, once you've released that negative emotion to Him, find in Scripture the things that are the opposite. For example, if you're wanting Jesus to heal you of anger, the opposite would be things like love, peace, and joy. If we could put Galatians 5, 22 and 23 up there, most of the positive things you'll be looking for in Scripture, they're on that list right there. You think about nearly any negative emotion you could have, or even sinful behavior you could have, and you'll find its opposite right there. If you want Jesus to heal you of sexual lust or sexual misbehavior, the opposite would be self-control. If anxiety is attacking you, then exchange it for peace. Release, receive. That's the receive list. Number five, once you have found the positive opposites to your negative emotion or behavior, then tell Jesus that you receive those positive things in exchange for the negative that you already released to him. And when you do this, you are putting on the new. Finally, thank Jesus for the exchange life which brought you into union with him and which will keep you forever in union with him. Be at peace knowing it's not a method that got you to that peace, but a person that brought you peace. It's your Savior who loves you so much that he gave himself for you. So enjoy your walk with him. Let's pray. Oh, Father, you've given us such wonderful gifts. You've given us wonderful tools. Lord, I pray you will help us to put this into practice, to free us up from those old things that are tying us down and keeping us from having the fulfilling kind of life with you and with our fellow believers and even with unbelievers that we should be having. Lord, we lift it all up to you. We cast our cares on you and thank you for what you've given us in exchange. In Jesus' name, amen.
Marilyn, come back up here. Put it back
on. I
want
to touch it.
Put it on. We got the receipt here.
Yeah.
Make the exchange.
Oh.
Put on the new.
Thank you.
What's interesting about putting that off says, lie not one to another. See, that's not the truth. Yeah. Seeing that you have put off the old man,
yes,
with all the deeds.
Yes.
See, that's the truth.
Yes.
It's a lie to believe that all that stuff,
yeah,
is still part of you. Mm. Right?
Amen.
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 I just wanted this thing finished. Yeah. I didn't want you to leave here with that old one still
Thank
a part
you.
Of there.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, you're dismissed.